Title this morning is Traditions in Denominations. Traditions in Denominations. And I want to talk to you about traditions in denominations. I want to talk about traditions. There are some good traditions and there are some bad traditions. It's all right to get together for Christmas. That's a good Christmas tradition. Amen. It's okay to get together with your family for Thanksgiving. That's a good tradition. Amen. But there are some things that men have established in denominations that have separated brothers and sisters in Christ. Separated us. See, let me explain this. When you get to heaven, there isn't going to be a section for the Methodist and the Lutheran and the Assembly of God, and there ain't going to be one for the Baptist, and there ain't going to be one for the non-denominational church or the Catholics or the Church of God. No, there's not going to be a whole bunch of different segregations when you get to heaven. It's just one. So I can see Jesus sometimes getting upset because we've segregated the body of Christ and have put us into a compartment. And God's never called for us to do that. He's told us to all get together in fellowship as one. So I don't no longer argue with my brothers and sisters in Christ that have... I try to find where the common ground is. Do we both love Jesus? Do you believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Okay, well, at least we got some common ground. Amen? How you hoot and holler and jump and high step and dance and fall out and all that stuff. That every religion does things a little different. That's why I like the relationship. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. Because, see, there's some traditions also that separate us from God. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever been asked what church you go to? What's the name of that church you go to? Because then they could try to compartmentize you and say, oh, then you're a Baptist, so you're going to get me saved 25 times during church service. Amen. You ever been to a Baptist church? They get you saved 100 times. You start speaking in tongues and the other stuff. You know, it's Assembly of God. You know, it's so there's different associations and then the Catholic faith that I came from. You know, there was a lot of traditions and a lot of them were really good because they helped you understand the Bible. I remember doing the Stations of the Cross, and it was an hour long, but I learned some things about the traditions. I didn't like sitting there for an hour doing it, but I learned something, and there are some good things about it. But sometimes traditions that they do sometimes are not all that good either because sometimes they don't share about Jesus. And really, our foremost importance is about Jesus. The traditions are good, those are the past, but I got a bright future with Jesus. See, when you go to a church, it's how you worship God in spirit and truth. Amen? It's about having a relationship with Jesus. It's not about your denomination or the traditions of the church. It's are they speaking about relationship? Are they connecting you back to Jesus? Or are they just talking about philosophies and all these great things you could do? Amen? See, traditions sometimes give us roadblocks. Sometimes traditions hold us back from what God wants. Sometimes traditions and denominations hold us back from having people come to church because they just don't fit in. You ever been to a church where you walk in, you man, I don't fit in here. I don't meet the bar, or you know, and that's not what God said. I receive everybody. I want everybody to come to me, just as you are. So take a look at John 4 verse 19. This is the New Living Translation. John 4, verse 19 says, "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" And Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter if you worship him in your car. It doesn't matter if you worship him in your bathroom, in your throne room, in your bedroom, in your office, in your car, at church, while you're going to the mall. It won't matter where you worship me because I'm going to hear you right where you is." Amen. It says, "You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while the Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus told her, yo, I am the Messiah. I am the great I am. I am Jesus. I am the way. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to show you. I'm in the flesh. I'm here to tell you, yeah, you can go and worship anywhere you want because I'm going to hear you. Now, here's the deal. If you look at America before 9/11, not many people went to church. Then we had 9/11 and everybody got religious. And I got to go back to God. It's a terrible thing. And the churches were packed for a period of time, and then they went back to their old ways. And the word was taught, but people just said, well, you know, everything's good now in my life. I don't need God no more. Shout, Jesus, I come today to worship you in spirit and truth. Jesus, let the traditions of men and denominations be broke off of me. See, Jesus, you need to understand something. When you come to church, where the real preaching's going on, where the real word is being spoken, you won't see a lot of people at that church. I come to the conclusion, the reason why I won't have 10,000 people come to my church, because I'm a word guy. And when you speak the word, it reveals something in your life. And what happens is people don't want a spotlight on their life because they don't want to change. They like to be the way they is all the time. And in how messed up they are, they're okay with that. And God's saying, no, I got a better plan for you. I made you in my image. I made you perfect. I want you to accelerate. I want you to be a king. I want you to be the president so that when you're speaking the word, people are going to change because they see you. And they see me inside of you. People don't want to hear the word because that means I got to change something. Now, my wife and I have been pastoring for going 11 years this year. And we've had a lot of people come from other churches that they got saved and it was good, but they don't do a lot of word. So we say, we want to come to that word church because we want to grow. And then they get the word and they leave about 3 weeks later because and not that I'm forcing them to do anything, but the Holy Spirit is convicting them. You got to change this, and you got to change this, and you got to change that, and you got to change. And they're going, whoa, man, I never had it in the other church. Why? Because there's no word. Where there's no word, there's no growth. So they go to a place where they can just fit in and say, hey, I've been part of this big 10,000 member church, and it's all good, but there's no fruit that's coming. My job is to give you the word, not to beat you up, but to reveal some things that you might need to change in your life. Because God's always revealing things in my life. I thought I was perfect, amen? When I met my wife, I thought I was perfect. But I realized I wasn't. And God began to reveal my arrogant, cocky, conceited self is really far from God. And then we got married, and then we had children, and God will show you again. He reminds you of how you used to be in these kids. And now it's payback time, praise God, hallelujah. Then they become teenagers. And they're good kids. Why? Because they got Jesus. But here's the thing. People like to make up their own religions. That's why there are so many religions. They take a bit of this one, and they like a bit of that one, a little of this one. But they really, at the end of the day, they don't really want to serve God. They still want it their way. Paul spoke about this. Take a look at Romans 1:8. This is the New King James Version. Romans 1:18 says this. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but because of their futile thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, but they were really fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like an incorruptible man, or corruptible man, or bird, or four-legged animal, or creeping things. It says, therefore, God also gave them to the uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature instead of the Creator, who blessed them forever. Amen. Here, let me tell you what that means. People have made up their own religions. They know about God. They heard about God. They know some portions of the Bible, and they take some bits and pieces of it, but they use it to manipulate it the way they want it to be used. And they start to worship things instead of God. Church of Scientology is a perfect thing. I was at the Church of Scientology about 2 years ago. I was doing some work there. And they were the most friendly, smiling people in the entire world. But man, talk about whacked out thinking, man. Woo! Ray Hubbard, man, he sold some books and he sold some, but he made a religion out of it. And people sow money into that thing, man. I mean, there's some big name people in there. I mean, Tom Cruise is probably a great gentleman. He's probably an awesome guy, but he's just a little misguided. Amen. And the thing is, they know about God and they know some principles of God, but they really don't want to follow all the things of God, so they tweak it a little bit so that they can form a new religion. But see, God said in here, he took away all the excuses. He sent Jesus. He said, this is how it's supposed to be. You don't detour from this message. There's not 18 ways to God. There's only one way to God. That's through Jesus. But people say, well, there's many ways to God. Really? The Bible says there's only one way to God. Through Jesus. Not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, but through Jesus, his son. So that's why there's so many religions. That's why there's so many traditions that are set up. Let me give an example. You know, there's a recession going on in our world today, and you got to ask yourself, there are still people that are doing financially well in the times of recession. My greatest earnings I've ever had has been during this recession. Because I'm not tied to the economy of this world. I'm tied into the economy of God's world. Because I sow into God's system. I work God's will and his way and his plan and his word. So it kind of pulls me out of the things of the world. I still have to deal with things of the world, but my economies are different. Amen? In 2014, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that said that there'll be more millionaires and billionaires made in 2014 than in the history of all mankind. I said, Jesus, I want to be a billionaire. I wanted to be a millionaire, but I think I could spend a lot of millions, so let's just make it a billions to make sure I got more than enough. Because I can tithe on billions, there's a whole bunch more billions to flow, amen. 10% of a 1 billion, boy, that's a lot of billions and millions and millions. Amen. See, the majority of the wealthy, though, you got to understand, a lot of them don't serve God. They know the principles and they use the principles of the Bible and not knowing that they really are, but they don't really need God because they already got everything. What do I need God for? I got a nice house. I got a new car. I can fly to California and have dinner, and in the morning I can be in New York and eating somewhere, or I can fly to Paris and eat at the Eiffel Tower when you're rich. But they're still empty. They don't serve Jesus. They don't have enough time for him. But the rich can go anywhere they want. And see, what happens is today, instead of worshiping God, people worship things. They worship their job, their careers, their material things. And Paul said, instead of believing in what they know to be the truth about God, they choose to worship things about God instead of worshiping the Creator. And that gets us in trouble, because then we start a religion, or we start into some traditions that really aren't of God. Why is it on Sunday, the day that we normally would have church, people always schedule all their outings on that day? Well, I can't be at church, you know, because I got to go boating. I got to go fishing. I got a picnic to go to, and I got to get everything set up. You know, why don't you just make the picnic at 3 o'clock? Church starts at 10. We're done by 11:30, 12. Give you plenty of time. But see, people don't really, they discount church. They discount getting together and hearing the word. that becomes a religion. They, you know, my wife and I used to have a boat when we were in Michigan. And we, remember, we got saved, and in Michigan, you only get, you know, there's only like 5 sunny days, so you got to hope that they fall on one of the weekends, amen. And you could get caught up, but we'd always go to church first, and then we'd go out on our boat. It wasn't, well, hey, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's a sunny day. We might as well take advantage of it. No, we went to church first, and then we would go out to the boat. Amen? Boat's still going to be there. The sunshine's still going to be there. The bugs and the fish will probably still be jumping. Amen? But it's about making a choice. Take a look at Romans 12:1. It's the New Living Translation. Romans 12:1. This is going to help you. It says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. That would be just enough for me right there. Because what he's done, he's given me breath in my lungs. He's given me eyes to see. He's given me 2 ears to hear most of the time. Amen. And a mouth to praise him. He's given me everything I need. It says, and let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
Wow.
Don't copy. Don't be a copycat, because I made you an original. He made you in his image. He made you perfect. He made you like him. He made you unique. So don't be a copy. Don't be like somebody else. And there's many pastors that try to preach like, you know, other pastors. I want to be just like him. No, I want to be like just like Jesus. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You is what you is because of the way you think. If you think stupid, guess what you be? If you think you can do it, you can do it. If you think that God wants to bless you, and you get that in your mindset that God wants to bless me, guess what? God's going to bless you. If you believe that you can go to college and you work and do the right things and you find yourself approved, guess what? You can go to college. You can pass. It says, but don't be transformed, but be a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't let the world change you. You be a world changer. You could be the greatest rap star, but just don't talk all that smack. Talk about Jesus. You're not like anybody else. God made you unique. So step out and be unique. Don't follow the patterns of the world. Be one that sets the pace. Be the leader, not the follower. The only one you need to follow is Jesus. See, the traditions of men and denominations will spin you out of control. When you follow the traditions of men in the world, you dispose yourself or predispose yourself to attacks in the mind and falling in the trap that Satan sets. Here's what Satan does to you. Satan says, well, you know, you don't feel alive. That's really deadness. But you're alive because you got Christ. Sometimes you feel, hey, there's something wrong with me, so I must be defective. But God didn't make junk. God made you perfect, so you're not defective. So get that out of your mindset. See, religion and denominations and traditions typically will take you and start changing your mindset to make you feel that you're not all that in a slice of bread. Because you don't meet this bar, you can't come here. When you start to lose power and hope, that's called despair, but you can always call upon the name of Jesus who will give you life and hope and peace. And when you follow traditions of men, many times they're misguided zeal. Sometimes people, you know, talk good, but they don't really have it in their heart. Now, I'm not knocking Oprah. I'm not knocking Tom Cruise. You know, they probably have some great zeal about their religion, but they're off base. They probably all give to charity. They're all kind-hearted. But the religion that they've created, or the ones that they're involved in, is a religion based on, if you give me $10,000, you're at a level. Well, let me tell you, you're going to give $10,000 to this church, you're not another level, you're just going drawing closer to Jesus. Amen. Well, I can be bishop if I give $25,000. Oh, yay. Promotion comes from God, not from the pastor. Just thought I'd share that with you. But see, people take bits and pieces of religion to create a new religion, and then they create that religion to get other people to kind of be like they are, but they're just as misguided because they don't really want to follow the man. They don't want to follow Jesus. Because Jesus' ways aren't like our ways. They don't want to do things God's way, the way God's established things. The traditions of men and denominations create a whole bunch of chaos, and there's a lot of hypocrites that come from that. See, these men honor God with their lips, but their heart's so far away from God that they just, you know. Their teachings are but rules taught to men. And they go by the commands of men instead of the commands of God. That's what traditions and denomination does. Take a look at Mark 7, verse 6. It says this. Mark 7, 6 says, "He answered and said to them, 'Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in their vain worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" It says, "For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers, of cups, and other such things." In other words, what happens is, you see, in some denominations, they go by a whole bunch of rules. Now, church should always have order, but not a whole bunch of rules. Because rules now segregate people from getting close to God because they just don't meet that rule. Amen? They just don't meet this mark, so they can't come in. They're the wrong color. They can't come to my church. Come on now. So my wife and I, we were young, you know, and we got into ministry, and we said, "Oh, who do we want to hook up with us in ministry?" You know, and we got hooked up with Dr. Price. Now, I don't know if you ever been to Dr. Price's church, but you know, it's in a neighborhood that's pretty run down now. Amen. And you know, we came, you know, so we stood out because most of the people there were black, but I don't care because I don't look at color. I'm colorblind. Ask my wife. I probably got brown and black sock on today. I mean, you know, I can't see that. But we walked in, and man, it was like, "Who are you?" "We're kings and queens of God, praise the Lord. You didn't get my invitation to who we are." Then we drive around, you know, in the neighborhood, because you had to drive like 20 minutes to get to the church, because you stayed at the hotel where everybody else was staying. Well, you know, if you ever been downtown, there's a place called Randy Donuts. It's right on the freeway, you know. Well, you don't go there at midnight to get donuts when you look like Casper the Friendly Ghost. So they all thought we were crazy stopping there. But I had the power of G. I just got done listening to Dr. Price or some great man of God that spoke the word. Man, I was like, "I'm bulletproof, man. I'm good. We're going to get some Randy Donuts, man." Because Christians like to eat after you hear the word. Amen. So you like to. So. And that's a good tradition. We went there for many years and went to the stuff over with Dr. Price, and he's doing well, and it's all good. Amen? But you got to understand something. Rules hold people back. Jesus never had a whole bunch of rules. When he fed the 5,000, he didn't say, "Well, but you're excluded," and you know. No. He said, "Come all." So I take what Jesus did. I mean, I hear those stories in the Bible and all that, but I want to say Jesus is the one I follow. So if Jesus did it, then I can do it. Amen? And if Jesus didn't worry about color or race or creed, he didn't worry about it. He just said, come as you are. The guys that were paralytic that came to Jesus and had got delivered, they weren't probably in a three-piece suit. And they probably smell a little bit because they couldn't shower because they couldn't move their limbs. Oh, but we can't have those people come from the park because they smell like alcohol. Really? We allowed them to come to our church too. Why? Because how are they going to get back into society unless you invite them in? But religion will say, well, you know, he's homeless, so he got no money. She got no money. So they're not going to be able to give to the church. They're not going to bring anything. Well, maybe their souls are about to get touched. Maybe they got such a great voice and they can sing so well that the whole place just gets ignited because there's such an anointing on it. But they just didn't know that. That's why I don't make y'all wear three-piece suits or dress up in your tie. You can wear all that, and that's good. But you know, I'm not going to hold that against you if all you can afford for me. This is a Target shirt. I like Target. It's I got it for like $6.99. Man, it works good. Amen. See, we live in a world today where churches are teaching more about philosophy and rules that are made up by men than teaching the Word of God. Because when you teach the Word of God, it makes you want to change. Or at least puts a spotlight on you personally. Not everybody else sees it, but you know. Oh, pastor talking about me in church. No, I don't know about your situation, but you feel that I'm talking about you. Because that's God speaking through me to tell you, hey, you need to change some things. Because God wants you better than the way you were today. He wants you better tomorrow. People are learning to build stronger relationships with pastors and evangelists more than they're building relationships with God. They think that man's going to get them somewhere. No, no, no. God's going to get me somewhere. I'll help you as much as I can, but don't use me as your crutch. Lean on Jesus. Because I'm human. I'm going to be worn out. But Jesus. See, once again, traditions. You got to come to the pastor for counseling. I don't like the counsel. I counsel every Sunday. Just a group counseling session. Praise God. You can take pieces of it if you like, or take none of it if you don't like. It's up to you. But when you take it, you'll get something. The traditions of men will direct you down the wrong path. Take a look at Colossians 2:8. I'm going to close with this scripture. Colossians 2:8. It's the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. There are some eloquent speakers that they have no Jesus inside of them. And they have some great philosophies and they have some great things and they come up with these brilliant ideas, but they're so far off base from God. But it sounded good, Pastor. That's why you need to be rooted in the Word so you know the difference between what someone's talking to you about and what the truth is. Don't let the ruts and the pitfalls of the world grab you and drag you down. Don't allow traditions of men hold you back. Don't let denominations, the demon in it, hold you back. That's why we're Spirit, Life, Christian Church. Jesus said when we started the church, Spirit, Life. Well, how do you communicate me? Spirit, Spirit. What kind of life do you want to have? Well, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. And then see, sometimes people say, well, Spirit of Life, oh, they're that tongue talking, they're gonna be falling out and witchcraft and all kinds. No. But see, you could get that connotation by saying Spirit Life. Oh, they're spiritual people. No, but we talk to God, Spirit to Spirit. I mean, you know. You're going to roll, you might as well roll holy. Amen. See, many times we allow denominations and traditions where there is no scriptural basis. They do things, but there's no scripture. We've always done it that way. We always heard it that way. but it doesn't mean that it was God's way. I mean, I've been to places where, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. I've been to a place, and I won't even say where it's at, and I had my Holy Bible, amen. And I took the Holy Bible, and I stuck it on the floor, upside down. And I had this religious guy come to me. Oh my God, you're putting the Holy Bible on the ground. That's God's word. He says, and you got it face down. I says, yeah, so the devil can read it. I almost got thrown out of that church because I put a Bible down on the ground underneath my chair face down, and you would think that, you know, I killed somebody. That's called religion. I'm in the relationship. I don't even have my Bible anymore. I got an iPad. I got like 50 Bibles. Amen. I still like my paper Bibles. But you'd be surprised how religion is. How denominations are affected. And then they start to affect your thinking. I remember I was sick to be taught a lesson. I was taught that in the church, that you were sick because God's teaching you a lesson, boy. You are just a miserable person. God's teaching you a lesson. That's what religion does. And then someone set me free and said, God that loves you, cares for you, he loves you so much, why would he get you sick? Does your parents get you sick and teach you a lesson? No. And they're human. How would a God that loves you and designed you in his image, why would he get you sick? He wouldn't. Whoop, light bulb went on. Wrong teaching. Wrong theology. See, if your hearts are close to God, then whatever man tries to fill it with, you'll know the difference. Because you're walking with God. Don't be moved from the truth of God by the whims and traditions of men. Men are very eloquent talkers. There are some men, there's some women, preachers, teachers, that are really, but man, they are so far off from God. And then you start listening, see, because you start listening and you say, well, that don't line. Ooh, that one, ooh, that don't line. Ooh, God, that doesn't sound right. Why? Because you know the Word. And you're so connected to your Heavenly Father and your best friend Jesus, who's your elder brother. And when it goes against the Word, you say, something ain't right here. That's called religion and denomination and traditions that don't line up to the Scripture. Here's some. Some people think we can make a church bigger if we make some adjustments. Maybe we move in a piano. Maybe we alter our stance just a little bit about baptism. Maybe we say there's really more than one way to God, you know, so we can draw a few more people. Maybe we're more lenient on marriage and divorce and homosexuality, which seems to be more prevalent than ever, so that we can get some more people in the door. But here's the deal. My wife and I are so sold out that we said it's not about getting people in the door, it's about getting people through the gates of heaven. And I'm not going to compromise some kind of trick of the trade to draw people in. I'm going to call sin, sin. Why swear and cuss? That's sin. If I'm a homosexual, that's sin. God still loves you, but it's still sin. And I can't sugarcoat it. I can't candy coat it. I can't make you feel good about it. Well, God created me to be gay. No, it was because you got raped or you had incest or something happened crazy in your family and it messed you up. But I got a God who can repair that, fix that, tweak that, make that better. Amen? Man, I read something about some church pastor whose son, he married and he was gay and he thought it was okay. Move that guy out of that pulpit as fast as you can. And it's a big denomination. It's craziness. That means they compromised a little bit so they can get more numbers on the board at the church. We get a few more tithes and offerings if you get some of those. Now, I want everyone to come here. I don't care what race. I don't care what color. I don't care if they're homosexual, because when they walk out, they're going to be straight. Not that I don't like them. I love them. I just have to help them understand what the Word says. No different than when I was stealing stuff. Someone had to help me with the Word so that stealing is not a good thing. It makes the prices of the stores go up. You took something that wasn't yours. That's not right. Someone had to teach me that. Fellowship with God and His people require us to follow God-given traditions based upon the Scripture and found in the Bible. There's no other way. That's why God didn't create a whole bunch of religions. Can you imagine when we get to heaven how confused some people are going to be? They're going to be walking around for days going, I didn't see my mansion, but where's the Baptist group at? Oh, is that the Assembly of God that's over there? Oh, there's the non-denominationals. I was them. Well, no, there's the Catholic department. No, God ain't going to have that in heaven. You're going to all get together. So here's the deal. If you don't like someone from another religion, get to start loving them right now because they're going to be your neighbor. Now, those Baptists, man, they're always so loud and hop and jump and then skip. Guess what? They're going to be your neighbor when you get to heaven. And you can't relocate. You're already in your mansion. And yeah, you know. Don't allow denominations to define who you are. You are in Christ. That's who you are. People say, what do you say? I said, I'm non-denominational for a reason. Because I knew what the rules and regulations of all these other places were, and I know I couldn't meet those standards. That's why I'm not allowed to preach in certain places. Why? Because I'm a word guy. And sometimes they want to muffle the word because that's what the board says. No, I mean, come on now. I'm just trying to help you how the church works. There's a board. And the board tells the pastor what he's going to preach. So the board's put themselves above the pastor instead of the pastor being the leader over the board. That's why the board I have says the pastor makes a decision, and if it's not according to the Bible, we're going to talk to you about it. That's how that works. Head. That's like telling Jesus, the board's going to tell you that you can't feed the 5,000 today. We don't like that. Huh? That's called religion. That's called rules. And that's what keeps people out from coming into church and keeping people from getting saved and getting into the gates of heaven. And a lot of people are going to hell because of religion and the traditions and the rules have held people back. Where God says, come. Come as you are. Come worship me in spirit and in truth. Come love me. Come, let me show you my love and compassion. Go ahead and just go ahead and allow me to just be God. Allow me to heal your sickness. Allow me to touch your mindset. That woman said, someday there's going to be a Messiah. And the whole time she's talking to the Messiah. She's talking to the one. That's why, you know, religion says, well, you can only go to the church and you have to be at the temple so many hours a day and you got to, no. Here's one. This is one you're going to know. You ever been to a church that says you have to read the Bible in a year? You ever been to a church like that? And if you don't read the Bible in a year, you're kind of less of a Christian. Amen? So I went to God on that because I was looking in the Bible where it says, you must read the Bible in a year. I looked at it, and I haven't found a scripture verse for it yet. But that's traditions of men. Now, here's the deal. It's great that you read the Bible in a year. But I'd rather have you read a third of the Bible and master the third and get something out of that third and apply the third and then go to the next third because now you're going to be even more powerful than just reading it. Now you're a person that's doing it. And when you do the word, you become more like Christ. You get less religious. You get less into the things of the world. And you get more into the relationship with God. So you could read your Bible in a year. I'm glad that you have the time to do that. That's great. But for me, sometimes I can only get half the Bible in this year. But that half, I got a little bit more than if I were to just skim through it. I don't want the Cliff Notes version of the Bible. I want the whole thing. I want the thee, thusus, and those, and the Hebrew, and the other translations, so I can see what did Jesus really mean here. What did he really say? Because I don't want to take things out of context, and then form my own religion. Because this is good for me, but I don't like that part of the Bible. You ever hear that? People, I like this part of the Bible. This is good for me, but the prospering part, I like that, but I'm going to have to go through some stuff part I don't like. I may have to suffer a little bit. I don't like that part. I thought being a Christian was going to be all good. Yeah, it is all good because you're going to heaven. But there's some things you have to get through, and that means getting through beyond yourself because you mess yourself up. But when you serve God, He helps pave the way. He's already walked the way. He's already made a way when there seems to be no way. When you follow God, when you allow Him to be the example, when you're led by Him, when you're taking His leading, He's never going to steer you the wrong way. But if you do these 9 rules, you'll be good. No. The 12-step program. I love the 12-step program. I think that's great. First step is quit drinking. Amen. Get to know Jesus. Quit drinking. You're good. The rest, God will work out the other 11 steps. He'll work it out. And your 11 steps are going to be different than the other guy's 11 steps. But the first step on the 12th step is to get in alignment and agreement with Jesus. And once you get in alignment and agreement with Jesus, amen, everything else starts to fall in place. But see, once again, man-made kind of religion. We've got to do 12 steps. I don't want 12 steps. I couldn't even 12 steps. I was stumbling like that for the first 18 steps. Amen. I had to sit on down. I was so drunk. 12 step. Come on. Could do a hold down step. Amen. Come on. God. But that's, once again, religion. That's tradition. First step, serve Jesus. Next is, serve Jesus. Next step, serve Jesus. And guess what? He'll clean up your alcohol problem. He'll clean up your addictions. He'll get you with the right people. He'll start moving people out of your life that don't need to be in your life. He'll start pruning some things that, remember, He'll prune? He'll prune all the way back. Why? Because He wants you to have the harvest. And sometimes people get in the way. And God's not interested in having a whole bunch of foliage or have a church of 10,000 of foliage, but there's no fruit. God wants fruit. God wants fruit. And sometimes He has to pare it back just so He has enough people, because Gideon's army got pared back until He only had a few. And he conquered it all. God does more with less. If you haven't figured that out, with a few fish and a few loaves of bread, he fed about 10, 15,000 people He fed. He does more with less. That's inside of you. See, God created you in His image. I said this in the beginning. He created you, and He didn't create junk. He created Himself a masterpiece. He created you to be unique. You got to tap into that uniqueness of God that's inside of you so the rest of the body gets blessed. How that works. And don't get religious and thus saith the Lordeth and this and thatth and, come on now. Hit people in the head with a Bible. I'll get it in you one way or another. Infuse it in with love. You know how I got saved? I had this crazy guy visit me in the hospital for 15 days. He'd come during his lunch hour. Every day. I seen him coming out, hit the morphine pump. I'm going, purple haze. Yeah, I'd see him coming. I could hear him down. He would be. You can hear him praising and worshiping. Oh, God bless you. I hear him down the hall. I'm like, God, this guy's coming. And then he brought me the CDs, of instrumentals of praise. I'd just listen to this, brother. You'll just instruments. And it was just praise and worship music with no. And he brought it on a CD, remember? Or a cassette. It was a cassette tape back then, because it was cassettes back then, And I told him, I don't have a cassette player, so you're out. He goes, oh, I just fixed that. God told me to buy you this cassette player so you can play it and put it. Oh, and then don't worry about the earphones. I got you these nice earphones that will go over your IVs and your nose plugs and everything else, and it won't interfere with all electronics in here. Don't worry about it. And he thought it all out, man. God sent him. Was he not? And then he said, Lord told me I should come in the evening too. I go, oh, Jesus, not twice in one day. He goes, I'm going to fast my dinner just to spend time with you. I went, God! But it was to a point. He was on a mission from God. And I'd see him coming, and I could just hear him praying over me. I just hit that thing, and I just close my eyes, and I'd kind of like, is he gone yet? He'd be in the corner and worshiping, like, Jesus. Start praying in tongues. I didn't know what that was, Thought he had a, vocal cord problem or something. Start speaking in tongues, laying hands on me, I just felt like I was unconscious, But you never know who God's going to use. And I was dying, so, you probably the breath of life that came there for me. And yet he was unique, crazy, I thought. Special. He was special. He got to me. The Holy Spirit got to me, and God got to me, and I got saved. And as soon as I got saved in that hospital bed, as soon as I took the Jesus juice, man, the blood pressure came down, the sugar levels came down, the bile in my stomach that was churning came down, and within less than 24 hours after I received Jesus, my whole continent changed. That's how God works. But he used a unique individual that was persistent. And I had my girlfriend and my wife was coming and visiting me in the hospital every day when I was sick. And she worked a full-time job. And she would get there and she would have to hustle around and she'd be there at like 9 o'clock and then next morning up early. And I went, man, this girl is good. And I'd stay awake for her. I said, praise the Lord. Hold my hand, baby. Got some lotion. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. And then Tom started coming. That Tom, my buddy, he started coming in the evening. Okay, like, messing me up with the girl, man. Come on. But he didn't come with religion. He came with relationship. He wasn't all this crazy religious stuff. Well, brother, you're going to. I knew I was going to go to hell if I died. I knew that already. You didn't tell me that. I knew. Because I knew I wasn't serving God. I was serving the devil. I knew that. Now, I was a good person and all that stuff. I was still a good person going to hell. I was still a good person. Here's how good it was. I was an altar boy. I was a great Catholic, and I knew all about God. I got trained by the best. But I was talking, but my heart was so far away from God. I was religious in traditions, but I didn't have relationships. See how you can be, you know people like that. They're tied into these traditions. And in our house, we don't wear makeup because, you know, it's against the, you know, I didn't see that in the Bible either. I just know that we're not supposed to wear a baseball cap in church. But if that's what you have to do because your head's too shiny, praise God, wear a baseball cap. Amen? I'm not going to allow that to hold you back from getting in a relationship with Jesus. If I'm going to a ball field and there's 10,000 people and they're all wearing baseball caps and that's where we're going to get them all safe, wear a baseball cap. God ain't going to worry about it. Once again, religion gets in the way of our thinking of, we got to get beyond all that. So the person wears shorts to church, at least they came to church. How about the other ones that aren't coming to church? Just trying to help. Did you get anything this morning? Does that make sense? Does it make sense that we don't judge people? I give them to God. When I don't agree with them, I say, Lord, you know, they're in the sin. And Lord, as you took away my sin, you'll take away theirs. It'll be in your timing how you're going to do it. And if they want it to be removed quicker, they'll get in into the Word and God will start to remove things, erase things, make them like you're never there before. He goes into your file and says, format C, baby. All wiped out. That don't exist. I like that. That's why I have a problem running for office, because they'll never find anything. Amen? So don't get tied up in all the traditions of men. There's some traditions that are good in the church. It's okay to get together for a candlelight service. It's all good. Don't let that be the foundation of your belief either. Dig into the meat of the Word of God. Don't allow people to say, when they say, what kind of church you go to? Say, I go to a church that serves Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. What's the name of that church? You can call it Spirit Life. They're going to start running away from you, though. What kind of church? It's non-denominational. Why? Because God, when you get to heaven, there's not any denominations anyway. So I just want to get it right on earth before I get to heaven. I don't want to get up there and be shocked. I don't. I don't want to get up there and say, whoa, Lord. I want to walk up and say, man, this kind of looks like earth, but 100 times better. No sickness, no sinuses, no pollen, no cat dander. I'm going to have a roaring lion in my house. I just, you know, it'll just be my pet roaring lion, you know. And it'll be next to the lamb, you know. Because isn't the lamb and the roaring lion kind of together, you know. I don't want you to be surprised when you get to heaven. That's all. I don't plan on going there for a while. I've been talking to a guy. I want to live a little bit longer. I got a lot of stuff to get done, but I don't want it to be a surprise. I want to walk up there and go, "Whoa, wait!" When I get there, I'm going to say, "Wow, look what the Lord has done." I want to hear Him say one thing: "Good and faithful servant, you're my good and faithful. I'm glad that you come on in, my good and faithful." That's all I want to hear. The rest, I'll meet Paul and all them, and we're not going to talk about politics or religion or you know. Meshach, what was that? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I'm going to ask him, how was it when you get into a furnace? And, you know, because I'm in a furnace in Las Vegas, but I mean, you were in a real furnace, man. And you didn't even come out smelling like smoke. And they'll say, "Well, talk to your elder brother, Jesus." I mean, you know, I can't wait for that. It ain't going to be about religion. It ain't going to be, they'll probably be wearing the same clothes they had back then that didn't wear out. And we'll be coming in with our zoot suits and styling, you know, and profiling, you know, and alligator shoes and stuff. They're going to say, "Get out of here." But see, don't allow the traditions and denominations to affect that. Because you're really into relationship with Jesus. That's the important thing. It's relationship. I have a relationship with my wife. I have a relationship with my parents. Those are relationships. And they're good for me. The best relationship I have is the one with Jesus. That should be your best and foremost, because He is your source. He's not religious. He has some traditions. He wants to hang around with you. It's a good tradition to hang around Jesus, hang around other Christian people. That's good. But He ain't religious. He's a relationship kind of guy. He ain't into separation and segregation. He's into population and increasing and tying people together. That's the God we serve. He's into knitting us together, every race, every color, every creed, from every nation. Can you imagine that? There'd be parts of the continent and the world that I've never been, but I'm going to meet those people. And it's going to be great when I get to heaven. Some of my might meet on earth. That'll be good too. Amen? Heavenly Father, I ask You to bless Your people this morning. For Father God, let us break the bad traditions that hold us back from You. Those that aren't founded on Your Scripture. Those that aren't founded on Your Holy Word, Jesus. I ask You, Lord God, whatever is not of You, let it be removed from our lives today. Father God, today, let us have a clean slate. Let us look at people, Lord God, as You look at them, Lord God. That they're a soul waiting to cross the finish line of heaven gates. Lord God, help us. Even with those that are unique and different, Lord God. Allow us, Lord God, to share the love of Christ with them. Not in a way to condemn them, Lord God, but Lord God, to convict them, Lord God. Not to beat them up, but Lord God, just by showing the love of Christ to those. Use us this day, Lord. You have made us perfect in every facet of our life. We are made in Your image, and You did not create junk. You've created each and every one of us to be a masterpiece. Used by the Master. Father God, use us. Use us today to break denominational curses, to get in, Lord God, to areas where the devil has held things up, Lord God. Let us be the ones that bridge the gap for more people to work together in unity and agreement with Your word. I ask You, Jesus, to bless this week, to bless the men's conference that we're going to have, Lord God. I ask You, Lord God, to allow it, Lord God, to be a safe haven for the men, Lord God, that they can worship You in spirit and in truth. Bless our week. Give us favor. Give us increase. And allow us this week, Lord God, to have the best week ever. I praise You. I worship You. I thank You that You seal this word in Your name. And everybody said, amen and amen.